This is the After Hours Director Spotlight, presented by Amro Music. It's the podcast where we chat with music educators to celebrate the joy of teaching music and learn about strategies for success. This week, Nick Averwater talks with Anastasia Holmes, director of bands at San Alejo Middle School in San Marcos, California. Anastasia was recently named to the 2022 Yamaha 40 Under 40 list of music educators. And in this episode, we'll learn more about the people and ideas that inspired her to become a music educator. And we'll also find out about the unique mentoring program at San Alejo Middle School. Our conversation was recorded July 8th, 2022. It's broken up into two episodes, and this is part one.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to After Hours Conversations for Music Educators. I'm excited to sit down today and do a director spotlight with Anastasia Holmes, the director of bands at San Alejo Middle School in San Marcos, California. Anastasia, it's so good to see you today.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, I appreciate a few moments of your time. Now, before we get going, first, I feel the need to congratulate you. You were recently recognized as a Yamaha 40 Under 40 music educator for this year. That award just came out earlier in the spring. Congratulations on that.
Thank you.
Yeah, well-deserved honor. And I'm excited to just sit down and hear some of the wonderful things that are going on inside your classroom. But before we do, I would love to help get to know you a little bit and share your history with our listeners. So do you mind just sharing with us perhaps what started your journey in music and who influenced you along the way and how you ultimately ended up where you are?
Whew, that's a long story, but I'll try to make it short. I think from the moment that I started music was in fourth grade. I grew up in San Marcos, first of all, which is where I teach. So I feel very honored to be in the community that helped shape me as a person and then to give back to that community. Well, I was in elementary school, and the middle school band director at the time, his name is Charlie McGee, who I eventually took over San Alejo music program from. He came down and brought his jazz band to the flag salute thing on Friday once a month, and I fell in love with music. I saw them. I was like, that's cool. I want to do that. I ran home. I told my mom, and she was like, uh-huh, sure. Because, you know, kids at that age, everything is cool. They want to do everything. And so we went and figured out that there was an after-school program the next year teaching woodwind instruments. So I had my choice of flute, clarinet, and saxophone. And because I wanted to do jazz, I chose the saxophone. We went to the music store, got it, started my journey in music with this little after-school program run by a wonderful lady named Amanda Furr, who is still a teacher in the district. She's an elementary music teacher. Fast forward, go to middle school. Mr. McGee is my music teacher. I do jazz. I learn baritone saxophone for jazz. In eighth grade, I'm bored on saxophone. I want something more challenging. And I wanted to play bassoon, but he said, I don't have any bassoons, but French horn. So I looked at him. I didn't want to disappoint my music teacher, and I wanted something more of a challenge, so I tried French horn. I despised that thing at first. I had braces, which anyone who has braces who's played brass knows it can be challenging. And so, but I continued to work hard. I got to high school. I played mellophone in marching band and French horn in regular band. I joined the drum line on bass drum, and I played in jazz on the Barry sax. And I just fell in love with music. I was involved, I guess you could call me the ultimate band geek. And at the time, our music programs in San Marcos were not anything to even blink at. Like, they just were these tiny little bands performing midday in the hot sun and just playing mediocre music, but I just loved it. I loved the friends I made. I loved the community. It helped shape who I am today. And then through high school, I was a leader, and so I decided, hey, I'm gonna give music a try. I think I'd be good at teaching it because I enjoy helping people and I enjoy the, you know, self kind of that gratification of helping somebody get to a certain point and they feel success. So I applied to colleges and I got into Cal State Fullerton as a music education major. I had a lot to do to catch up as far as my musical ability, coming from a small school district, which the music programs just weren't where they are now. So I worked really hard, got much better at French horn. I did a lot of things in college that helped shape my musical experiences. Did orchestra, did wind ensemble, wind symphony, small groups. I played with the choir even. So there was a lot of things, did operas, and all in the idea that I wanted to be the most well-rounded musician so that I could share those experiences with my students and better kind of give them an experience as far as what they could do eventually if they wanted. So then I went off into the world and looked for a job. And as we know, music teaching or being a music teacher is a very selective and narrow kind of career. So I looked around and I got my first job in San Bernardino, which was a rough school, a very rough school. And because I had done my student teaching at San Alejo with Mr. McGee, bring back that, it was a dream to be there. And then to go into my first year teaching, it was really rough. But I learned a lot about what I could get through and what I still loved about teaching after that year. So I went out again and looked for jobs, and then I did a whole 180 and taught in Beverly Hills for a year. And they have a public school system there, and that was a very small program, but it gave me the chance to kind of learn how to develop something on my own. And like I said, the kids are kids, but there's a lot of outside environmental things that kind of shape other parts of the job. So I thought I'd stay there for a couple years. And then Mr. McGee, Charlie McGee, gives me a call and he says, "So I'm moving up the hill to the new school to help them develop a music program there. And I want you to come interview for my job." I was 26 at the time. So I was still very young. I had only been teaching for 2 years. And this was my dream job. He was basically saying, come apply for your dream job. So I did. And I got it. And there was many, many times the first couple years of me feeling like I wanted to prove myself that I deserved that opportunity. I worked really hard and tried to slowly shape the program into something that was right for the culture I wanted to create. Mr. McGee gave me a great foundation, because what he did there was absolutely amazing, and he is someone who I look up to a lot. So to have his faith that I would take care of his program and continue to grow it was important. And then fast forward 8 years later, I'm still there. I love my job more than ever. I look forward to going to work every day. There's always moments where you're like, why am I doing this? But ultimately, I get to tell people, I love teaching middle school band, and they think I'm crazy. So a lot of my journey kind of starts and ends in the same place, but there's a lot of experiences that got me there, and I love that I get to give back to my community through those experiences and inspire the next generation of musicians.
That's fantastic. And I'm kind of grinning a little bit hearing about all the instruments you played coming through middle school and high school, because I think there's a lot of our listeners, a lot of educators out there that are thinking, man, I'd love to have a student like that. And I think they all have, of course, but just the people that just totally engage with the learning process and want to keep learning and playing instruments. That's absolutely fantastic. Well, I want to spend a little bit of time. One of the things that, as I was reading a little bit about you, particularly through the Yamaha 40 Under 40, that really caught my attention is that, of course, being in the middle school there, something you're very passionate about, you've got a robust mentorship program. That's something that's kind of driving the culture and the organization. But I also think it's a little bit unique in how you all structure the years in which students will be mentored and who they are mentored by. So if you don't mind, tell us a little bit about the mentorship program, how it came to be, and then we'll get into some of the nuts and bolts of how you structure it, how you assign what students are going to be teaching or mentoring what students, and we'll just go forward from there.
Okay. So the start of the mentorship program at our level was something that came to be primarily because of the shutdown due to COVID. We wanted our students to continue to connect with other musicians, and obviously on a big screen with a bunch of black screens where you're on the online learning, it wasn't cohesive to good music community. So the high school director, Jeffrey Radin, and I discussed what can we do to continue that connection between our musicians. And he had already had an amazing mentorship program at the high school where any incoming freshman in the music program was paired with an upperclassman that would help them the entire year be adjusted to being in high school. Something like a safety net if they were struggling with something. So it could be music related by marching or playing their instrument. It could be another class. Maybe their math teacher is really challenging. Can they get help that way? And even just how to make friends and feel safe in a place that's quite large. So we wanted to take that idea and morph it into something that would work at the middle school level. The first thing we decided is what are the grades that we're going to pair up with? So we thought that it'd be great for eighth graders to learn how to be a mentor, to have a basic understanding before they went to high school, or just even for life, like to help other people. So we decided that our eighth graders would actually help our sixth graders. So when we were online, we got people to volunteer this, and they would meet through Zoom and all that stuff, and it ended up being pretty great. But our seventh graders, we didn't think that they were quite ready to be mentors, most of them, but some of them might need some help still. So we thought, what if we get some of the lower classmen at the high school, you know, freshmen, really engaged freshmen or sophomores that are on fire, how do we get them to have that sense of being a mentor as well? So they would help our seventh graders. So we that's how we kind of figured out the levels, how it got started, and it's still pretty small at our middle school level, but it's something that we're continuing to grow and develop so that kids can have that if they want it.
Yeah. I love the way that you all kind of staggered it like that, because now by the time your seventh graders go to eighth and they're eligible, they've been through that mentorship program. They've had the opportunity to see it. There's a year of connection. But I also imagine from just a retention standpoint, the fact that you have some high school students engaged there with your seventh grade, it allows the students involved in band and in the mentorship program to kind of see the next level that they're going to be in, kind of get used to being around the high school students, begin to make friends with the high school students. So by the time they come in as freshmen at that point, they would now have, you know, a friend or a former mentor who's also an upperclassman. And so you can see the benefits of staggering. And I think that's a really great idea, the way that you all did that.
Yeah, we wanted kids to see where the opportunities lie further ahead, not just within middle school, but also in high school. And I think I'm not so far removed from my middle school experience to not remember what it was like when I was a sixth grader and eighth graders would talk to me and how I thought they were so cool, whether they were total band geeks, but they were older. And similar to that, you know, if you're a seventh grader and there's a high schooler working with you and being nice and being your mentor, that means a lot to younger kids. And it gives them that support that, you know, there are people out there that are older that care about them, but are their peers.
Yeah, that's absolutely great. So let's talk about kind of the nuts and bolts. I mean, how all, you kind of gave us a great overview. How do you decide who's going to be a mentor generally? Because I have to imagine that you have some students who are extremely qualified to do this. You also perhaps have some students that may be not quite at that level yet where they're qualified to mentor a younger student. So how do you kind of go through that process? And then, you know, how do you determine what students are going to be assigned to whom?
So at where we're at right now, still with our mentor program, is it's still voluntary based. So kids do not need to do this to be a part of band. It's just who wants to do this. And I At the beginning of the year, I send out kind of a survey or a form, and I say, if you're interested in being a mentor or being a mentee, having somebody mentor you, please let us know. And so I'll collect all those names, and I'll have to do that a couple times because kids are tough sometimes to reach. And then a couple weeks into the school process, I start connecting kids. And it's through email usually, especially because I don't have access to the high schoolers all the time. So I send out an email where it has the information. Basically, I give it to the mentor, and it's their job to make first contact with their mentee. And we pair kids up, usually trying to get kids that play the same instrument, or at least within the same instrument family, so that they can help with some musical aspects, but also just be somebody to talk to and be somebody to play music with. So once we've paired up the kids instrument-wise, we then look at personalities. Is this personality going to work with this personality? And usually by a month in, I kind of have a better sense of my new kids, my new students, and are they more shy? Are they more outgoing? Do they ask a lot of questions? Do they are they really skilled, but they don't really like to talk much about it? So it gives me an opportunity to see as eighth graders, or how is that going to work for them? So once that's all kind of the formula creates the, I guess, answer, I'll email the mentee and say, hey, we've got a mentor for you. They should be contacting you. And then I tell the mentor all the information that they need to know. The first thing I encourage them to do is in their welcome email that they talk a little bit about who they are, how long they've been doing music, and other interests that they have. And then I tell the kids that they should also send out a couple ideas of how they should meet. Do they want to meet online? Do they live in the same neighborhood? Do they just want to meet at each other's houses? Do they want to meet after school, before school, or at lunch if they have the same lunch? So we encourage the kids to meet once a week for 20 to 30 minutes. It can be shorter, it can be longer, just to check in with the kids. And then we will send out that email, and the kids will not only email their mentee, but the parents of the mentee, and introduce themselves through that as well. Especially older kids working with younger kids, it's important to us that parents understand that these kids are good influences, that they are here to help, and to just be that extra support in the peer realm of school. And then that gets started, and probably within the next couple weeks, I check in with each mentor, and I say, have you checked in with your mentee? Have you set up some times? When are you going to plan on meeting? So I just kind of keep them accountable. And through this process, there's also some other things that we make sure the kids understand about when they meet with their mentee, what is their end goal? I want them to think about that. Is it just to help them with their music? Is it to make a connection as a student? And so we just want them to make sure that they're doing that in a way that is appropriate and kind of making sure that they know what's going on. Then it goes along, and every once in a while I'll check in. Sometimes a mentor will say, hey, I've been trying to reach my mentee and they're not connecting with me. What should I do? So myself and the high school band director, we are the connection and we are the kind of supports team. So if a kid is having trouble, or they're working with a student and they're not getting along, or there's some type of rift in the mentee-mentor communication or relationship, we can go in and kind of help them out. So that's kind of the nuts and bolts of it. This past year, I heard of kids meeting online. A couple of my students meeting with high schoolers that are seventh graders. I had a couple kids meet after school once a week and help each other. And so it's just kind of neat. And then you should see, like, the sixth graders, when they get to know their eighth grader, they get excited to see them. like that's my mentor over there. Or when they're performing, sometimes they see each other performing and they get all excited to see these people that have been helping them and watching what they do when they're performing and being a musician.
Yeah. I mean, it sounds like not only are you setting this program up, but you're remaining very engaged and accessible and creating opportunities for follow-up, ensuring that everybody's kind of staying on the rails here, nobody's falling through the cracks, and just continuing to provide that oversight. Have there been any cautionary tales that you might want to share as you were setting this up for educators to say, you know, I didn't foresee this becoming an issue, and I set the program up and something happened, and now I have kind of adjusted the program to accommodate for this thing that I didn't foresee? Anything like that come to mind?
I think it's just being really organized before you start. Trying to think of all the things that you want to make sure you're covered and the kids are covered as far as being as safe as possible. And so I would just, that was one of the things, especially when we were online, making sure the kids understood that the parents needed to know that this was happening, that these meetings were happening. In most cases, we try to pair up high school students with middle school students that are the same gender. And that's primarily because we just don't want, you know, that sometimes you never know these days. And so we just try to make sure that we don't have like a junior boy working with a seventh grade girl. Not to say that that wouldn't work and not to say that it couldn't be a good pairing. It's just, it really depends on the particular student. We just don't want any blurred lines. We just want this to be purely mentor-mentee. You can be friends, but nothing more. So just trying to watch out for that, I guess. And then just really making sure parents understood that this communication was happening, that these were good kids. And that was when we first started it, actually our admin was a little bit cautious of this because of those elements. And I had to really structure everything so that there were safety nets for both the students and for us as a school. And so we made up documents where the parents and the kids sign, I understand that my student is going to be participating in this mentor-mentee program. This is what it entails. You know, if there's any problems, you can contact the directors. So we tried to set up all these safety nets to make sure that if something was happening that shouldn't be, we were notified or we stopped it before anything else happened, type of thing. And we also encourage kids to meet through Zoom or through Google Meet, meet at appropriate times of day. So we told kids that you should not be meeting at 9 p.m. at night. You should be meeting sometime in the middle of the day where it's an appropriate time. So, and then we also, like I said, when I check in with the kids, I ask them, when are you meeting and what time are you meeting? And I actually take note of that because then I know if something is happening outside of that, it's not part of the mentorship program. And so they just need to know that we keep them accountable for their actions, especially the older kids. But like you said, sometimes mentors want to do this and they're not quite ready for it. So we actually did have a couple instances where I had an eighth grader or two want to be part of the program, but they weren't ready to be a mentor. So what we ended up doing is we paired them up with high school students and they were mentees versus mentors. And especially this past year or two, because we've lost some time and some connection to leadership in our programs, it gave those eighth graders an opportunity to work with somebody, have that connection, but not be set up for failure, I guess you could say, because if you're not ready to be a mentor, you shouldn't be a mentor. And so we just switched it where, hey, we think that you'd be better if you were a mentee. We found this great high school student that wants to help you out. How do you feel about that? And the kids were excited about it.
Yeah. Before we change topics, I mean, any other thoughts, anything we're not touching on that you feel like is of vital importance as it relates to this program or that you'd want to share with our listeners?
I think there are so many things out there these days for kids that stress leadership, that stress that kind of concept. And as music educators, we are constantly battling keeping our students and retaining them in our programs. I think that this is a great way to keep the kids that might go to ASB or might go to something where they feel like they're not getting a leadership opportunity. Maybe they're not the strongest musician in your program, but they have other good qualities that they can help as a leader. So it just opens up more opportunities for kids to be leaders in a smaller setting, but they still gain those skills. And, you know, if they say, well, I might do this because my parents think it'd be better for me. Well, you're like, well, why don't you try being a mentor this year? And that's going to look really good for high school clubs, or eventually if you're a mentor in high school, that's going to look really good for college applications. Like, you can say that I was a leader, I helped this student. And so I think, unfortunately, so many things are sixth graders are worried about college. I'm like, what? How is that possible? You have so much time. But it's a reality of our current social climate. And it's just, you know, parents and kids don't see music and band as something that's going to help them later in life. They're wrong because they don't know any better. But if we can create these programs like a mentorship program and just opportunities to show what else music can do for kids, that's how you keep kids in your programs.
That's Anastasia Holmes, director of bands at San Alejo Middle School in San Marcos, California, talking with Nick Averwater. We'll hear the second half of this interview next time here on the After Hours Director's Spotlight, which is presented by AMRO Music, a family-owned company since 1921. At AMRO, we work with over 600 schools in 8 states to bring the joy of music to thousands of young musicians, and these partnerships make production of the After Hours podcast possible. Our Director Services Department is ready to work with your school, too. Just email alan@amromusic.com or seth@amromusic.com. The After Hours podcast is produced by Nick Averwater, Emily McGee, and Joel Hurd in Memphis, Tennessee. You can hear many more conversations with music educators at amromusic.com/afterhours.
Hey, if you enjoyed today's episode, here are two easy and fast ways you can support the After Hours show. First, your 5-star review means a lot as it helps to boost us in the podcast rankings so that other music educators just like you can find us. Second, if you thought of someone that would enjoy this week's content and episode, hey, please share it with them so that they too can be a part of the After Hours community. Thanks so much, and we'll see you next week.